The world's best don't get results alone, and now neither do you, no matter when, where, or what you're working on. Introducing Pit Stop's AI Avatar Marketplace. Think of it like Spotify, but for personal and professional growth. Imagine instant access to digital versions of the world's top coaches, each one trained on their unique methods, experience, and coaching style. This isn't just another chatbot. Every Pit Stop AI avatar is powered by real coach insights, their notes, their podcasts, and what they've learned from real sessions. It's a truly personalized coaching companion, so much smarter and more relevant than generic tools like ChatGPT. Whether you want to level up in business, build new habits, manage stress, or boost your confidence, you're not just getting advice, you're getting it directly from the playbook of proven high achievers, all at a fraction of the cost of traditional coaching and available 24/7 whenever you need that extra edge. Ready to find the coach that you need? Use Pit Stop as your launchpad for growth. Head to the link in the show notes and download the app now.
Welcome to Drive to Thrive, a Pit Stop podcast. My name is Sandy and I am your host. And this is not about 3-hour discussions of unrealistic protocols, impossible to manage morning routines, and all that stuff that you hear on so many of these podcasts. Instead, the idea behind this is we bring you real conversations with experts, professionals, but also everyday men who are just looking to improve and get better one day at a time. Our goal is to offer realistic, tangible, relatable advice to help you navigate and ultimately thrive in all aspects of life, no matter where you are. So I hope that you guys get comfortable and enjoy the show. And joining me on this week's episode is Taylor James. Taylor is an award-winning podcaster, producer, and mental health advocate. He's the founder of the Waffle Shop podcast and has had many, many incredible guests on his own podcast. So we thought it'd be great to get him on to have a bit of a discussion about where masculinity is in 2024. Expect to learn how to balance retaining your masculinity with the ability to be vulnerable, why you shouldn't compare yourself to others so much, especially those who can look successful from the outside, how Ed Sheeran keeps himself happy, better ways that you can stay present, and a whole lot more. A really, really great conversation with Taylor. Great insight into how we can kind of start to own our vulnerability a bit more as men and how we can put that out and help other men also feel comfortable and strong in being vulnerable as well. So, I really hope you guys enjoy my conversation with Taylor James. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's just dive straight into it. Something that I really wanted to talk to you about was the idea of masculinity. It's such a broad subject, especially in 2024. It's something that's more dissected and discussed than ever, particularly among men. When I say that word to you, what springs to mind immediately? The word masculinity.
I think very old dog mentality is where my head automatically goes to, you know, almost like caveman. Kind of like, yeah. You know, big, strong, show no emotion. That's where still to this day, where my head automatically goes. Whereas, you know, for a lot of the work that we both do and what we kind of like stand for is like, it's actually what it means is actually almost like a bit of the opposite. Like what makes someone masculine in my eyes is someone who really can show their emotion. They can, you know, I guess, hold their own, not just from a physical sense, but from a mental state as well. I think if you asked me like 4 years ago, it would be very much like, no, it's, you know, strong, you show no emotion, like you dress a certain way, you talk a certain way, you look a certain way. Whereas now it's like, I think it's almost like a spectrum with masculinity now, where, you know, that emotion fits into it, physical size fits into it. But at the core is just kind of like, I don't know, being who you're supposed to be, I guess.
Yeah, that's a really good point as well. Is like actually staying true to yourself is so important, rather than like pigeonholing yourself in a box. And I think for me, like masculinity, and for so many people out there as well, it's always been about this like provider figure within, whether it's like a family unit or anything like that. There is this huge thing around males, and you know, masculinity is always There's these connotations of you've got to be providing, whether it's financially or in any other way. You know, there's always that. And I think that comes with a huge amount of pressure, doesn't it?
It's that. And I think that's when all the whole kind of like toxic side of, you know, masculinity filters in toxic masculinity. And it is that old mentality of like the man has to provide, we're the fixers, we have to solve the issues. Whereas, you know, if we kept up with that mentality, it's a very dangerous kind of role to play. You know, you see the statistics, you see, you know, the way it's made us feel in the past. You know, I'm familiar with your journey, you're familiar with mine. And I feel like if we stuck with that kind of that one track minded kind of like view of masculine and what kind of being a male brings, like, I think it's quite a dangerous place to be. But yeah, it's, I feel like there's a saying in there that I think it can relate to a lot of things, but especially when it comes to masculinity, is like, if you, like, you'll go far alone, but like, you'll go further together. Like, I know it's so cheesy and so cliche, but like, it's true. And like, whether that means kind of a bunch of males doing what needs to be done to kind of like move forward, or even, you know, relying on your partner or, you know, your family, like your female family members. That I think that's true masculinity, kind of identifying your weaknesses and knowing who can kind of help, I don't know, pull that strength in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's such like there's so many more facets to it than we think. Like you said, it's so easy to look at, you know, how can I be more masculine? How can I be a better man? And instantly, I think a lot of men jump to, well, I'm just going to hit the gym. And there is a certain level of, you know, there is like look better, feel better. And I'm a big proponent of like, if you start to improve one aspect of your life, it definitely bleeds into other aspects. You know, if you do start going to the gym, suddenly you start, I look a bit better. All right, I'm going to start eating a bit better. Okay, now suddenly I sleep a bit better. Now suddenly I've got more focus at work. Now suddenly I've got a bit more time on my hands to spend time with my kids or go and meet up with my friends or go and play some sport after work rather than sitting on my phone. So I definitely think there is a place for that. But I think it's so important to be aware of all those different aspects of your life. And like you said, keep them in check. I mean, for me, like my personal experience was, and one of the things I learned, and sadly I learned it the hard way, was it's not just about talking about how you're feeling and why you're feeling low. I think that's a great place to start. But then it's so important to take that action afterwards, isn't it?
Oh, mate, with the timing of this conversation is unreal, because you're absolutely spot on. And I think, you know, I said it like before we hit the record, but when we were catching up about, like, you know, not telling that story element, it kind of filters into this. It's like talking about it is so important, you know, whether you're male, female, like whatever, like it's so important to talk about the way you're feeling, why you're feeling a certain way, and discussing it. But the only way that we're going to get better, or the only way we're going to move forward, is the action part. And it kind of got to a stage where, like, I was talking about this thing over and over and over again. And I think, I don't know whoever said it, but I'm firing these kind of like sayings out, by the way. I don't know where this is coming from today, but it's like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting change. And it's the same when it comes to talking about like all things like mental health. It's like, we can have the conversation. It's incredible to, as men, to sit down and have these like conversations about our emotions and why we behave a certain way, but it's the action part that we need to start like really focusing on now, in personal opinion anyway, because we can sit and have these conversations all day every day, but until we do something about it and we put that like plan in place or take action, nothing is going to change. It's not going to get better, because we're literally just going around in the circle of conversation, which is great, but it's not going to change unless we start to change.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, and I absolutely love it. And I think, please continue with the quotes. I love them. Keep pulling them out today.
I just wish I knew who said them.
Yeah, I'm sorry to whoever said it, if you're listening. Yeah. I think it is so important. And it's, and there's also this sense of like, and I'll hold myself to account with this as well. You know, sometimes when you when you just talk about it and don't take action, you kind of get this like righteous sense of self of like, I'm being a good man now. I am being good. I'm taking part in this mental health conversation. I'm doing this. And actually you feel good in yourself, but often it's the people around you that suffer, because all they get is hearing about how you're struggling and all this, but then they look at you and you're not actually taking any action. And sometimes, and by taking action, I don't mean something huge and drastic and I'm going to completely change every aspect of how I live my life, or, you know, I'm going to quit my job and move to India and become a monk, and, or, you know, all this stuff. Like, it's not that. It's what I just said earlier. It's making these small, tiny little sustainable changes, whether it is, do you know what, actually, maybe I will go to therapy. Maybe I will just see how it goes. Or, do you know what, actually, for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go for a walk for 20 minutes as soon as I wake up, rather than sit on my phone and scroll. I'm just going to see what happens. Or I'm going to not go out and get absolutely shit-faced Friday and Saturday night every weekend. I'm going to actually try and stay off the booze for one weekend and just see how that affects. You know, it's making these small, you know, they appear almost like they won't make any difference. But from what I've found, and maybe you can speak to this as well, by making those tiny, small little changes over time, you look back after 6 months and you're like, I'm an entirely different human being. And it's those actions, isn't it?
Mate, I feel like I want to clap. I really do want to clap. Like, literally, I'm gonna say this. Like, I know who said this. I said this. So I'm going to listen to this back from an accountability point of view. Stop waiting for the rock bottom to make a change. Like, I'm saying to you, Taylor, stop waiting for the rock bottom to make a change. It's these little wins, like as Sandy's just said, like that can kind of stop you from getting to that rock bottom. Because it's like we have to wait. Like, don't get me wrong, obviously some certain events that you can't help, like the big traumatic events or life events that are completely out of our control. Like, obviously we're never going to be prepared for them, no matter how much we do prepare. But it's those traumatic events that have kind of led us to this point. And we should be learning, like, from these kind of like inconveniences or these series of unfortunate events to kind of get to the stage that when something does happen, like in the past few weeks for me, from a personal point of view, I knew everything that I needed to do to pull myself through, but I didn't. I ignored all of the signs. I waited till I hit rock bottom. And then I was like, okay, now I'm going to start eating better. Now I'm going to start doing more exercise. Oh, I might pick up that journal that's now got a lovely layer of dust covered on the top of it. It's like all these things, like I'm saying it to myself, but anyone who's listened to this, if you take anything away, do not wait for the rock bottom. Like, you can do these little wins now. Start in like implementing like or practicing those really kind of like good habits. So there's when the rock bottom does hit, it takes you less time to bounce back.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, and I'm guilty of doing it myself. And looking back now, and it's all about prevention rather than reaction. That's the way I kind of think about things now. It is like, you know, just because you suddenly feel better doesn't mean you need to stop going to therapy. Just because you're in really good shape now doesn't mean you can suddenly go and eat exclusively McDonald's. You know, like it is one of those things you've got to keep on top of it. And I think that is a real key to living a more fulfilling life, especially. And, you know, it's maybe awkward saying this, but especially as a man, I think today it is you. Something in that I think we differ, like, is that like taking accountability for ourselves. And if we can take accountability for ourselves and kind of be proud of what we've done on like a larger scale for our life, but also on like a granular scale on a day by day basis, whether that is, I'm proud that I did some exercise this morning. I'm proud that I made something good for lunch today. I'm proud that I made some time for myself to sit and journal. I'm proud of the work I did today. You know, getting to the end of that day and having that, for me, that's been like a huge difference. I'm not necessarily thinking on this like grander scale in terms of life now, but I'm way more focused on the kind of granular day-to-day accountability. And I think that's been a really big thing. And I'd be interested to know if that's something for you as well.
Mate, you know, I'm here. I feel like a nodding dog. I'm like, yes. But it is, I think, one of the biggest lessons over the past few years, and even having conversations like this, is like, especially as a man, it's okay to self-validate. Like, I feel like we're always, especially as a generation now, to be fair, I feel like we're looking for this kind of sense of validation or like a well done or a pat on the back from external people or factors or whatever it might be. It's like, it's okay to give yourself a pat on the back and be like, you know what, Sandy? Fair play to you for going to the gym. Fair play to you for having that healthy lunch. fair play for taking some time out that you needed to get you through that day. Like, it's okay to self-validate. And I think it took a huge period of time to kind of get to a stage where I felt comfortable enough to do that. But, you know, we're so used to clapping when other people win. Like, it's okay to do it for yourself as well. And especially 100%. For those little wins, because I think that's how you build the habits. You know, on those days where, you know, everything doesn't have to go on Instagram. You can just do things in private and be like, well done, Taylor. Well done. Like, it's more than okay.
Yeah, that you're so bang on that, especially with it's okay doing stuff for like for Instagram. You know, it makes it seems to, we always seem to think that we have to post about it in order for people to. It's that external self-validation, you know, isn't it? Are you familiar with something called, on the other side of it, are you familiar with something called tall poppy syndrome?
No.
So this is the idea. So it's really interesting when you think about it compared to the UK versus the USA. So obviously we're both from the UK. So it's a lot more prevalent here. And it's basically the idea of in the UK, I mean, I've not been to the States, but, you know, having listened to other podcasts and things like that, the UK is a bit more closed off when it comes to people stepping out of their lane, trying something new, doing something a bit different. And I think in the UK, we're very quick to cut people down, to cut the tall poppy down and be like, what do you mean you're starting a podcast? What do you mean you can't do that? Whereas I think in the States, it's a lot more enthusiastic and kind of, you know, freedom. And like, we can go and do this. And from what I've heard, I think obviously some people find that difficult and then other people react to that a lot better. And I think it's that self-validation from others. And if anything, we look for it. And quite often, especially as men, we don't necessarily get it. We kind of get the piss taken out of us. And I think that to a certain level, that's banter. And that's kind of how men communicate, I think, especially in the UK. And I'm, you know, I love it as well. And I think it's great. But every now and then, it would be nice, wouldn't it, for like your friendship group or, you know, someone like that, other kind of men in your life to be like, I think what you're doing is really great, by the way. And I think we don't do it. We're very quick to cut people down and be like, because I think there's a certain level of comparison, isn't there? You're like, hang on, what do you mean my mate's just started a business doing this really random thing and now it's doing well? Or what do you mean? I'm like, and then you start being like, why haven't I done that? And it's so difficult to be genuinely happy for someone else that's doing this. And I think it does make a huge difference. It's something I've been very aware of, and I've again definitely been guilty of it, of, you know, looking at what someone else has done and been like, why are they doing that? I'm actively now really trying to be less cynical and like celebrate what other people are doing. And I gotta say, it's hard. It is hard. And, you know, for men especially, I think we're intrinsically designed to be competitive with each other. You know, it's like evolution. You know what I mean? You know, we were fighting for food around the campfire 2,000 years ago when we, you know, or 10,000 years ago when we were cavemen. You know, we were that's how we're kind of bred. But I'm, you know, it's definitely something I worked on. I wonder if, I imagine for you, you know, with your podcast and everything you've started, it's probably something you've run into as well.
Mate, and I still run into it on a daily basis. I still to this day do not understand how I've managed to do what I've been able to do. Like, and so it's, well, I don't know whether it is imposter syndrome, but especially very early on, it got to a stage where if I don't do this now, I'm genuinely scared of where my life's going to take me. Mm-hmm. It's like I needed that outlet. Like, so I do get very clammy sometimes when people say to me like, oh, the podcast is doing well, because I'm like, it wasn't one day I decided like, oh, I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to talk to famous people. I'm going to do this. This podcast was created because I needed an outlet, because I was genuinely scared of where my head was taking me. So it was like I needed to talk. So I do get very kind of, I almost tall poppy syndrome myself in a way, to be like, you need to rein this in. Like, who do you think you are, kind of thing? I think a lot of men kind of fall into that, of like almost that fear of judgment, or almost like rejection, or like, what if that person doesn't like this? What does that person doesn't like that? And but on those days, like, and to be fair, like I said, like on a daily basis, I have to really challenge myself to like, but people do like this. Like, you've got a portfolio or this kind of, all these facts now to say that this is working and it is working well. Your life has changed in ways that you didn't think was like possible. And now I'm sat on another podcast having an incredible conversation. If I hadn't have started that one thing, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, like, if something puts a smile in your face, or if you've got a passion for something, or even if you just want to try something, what's the worst that could happen? We had 2 to 3 years of our life completely stripped away from us, and we were all sat around twiddling our thumbs. It's like, we haven't got the luxury of time to kind of like wait to start something, like just kind of get over that little hurdle and just start it. Because people are going to talk whether you do good or bad. So you might as well do it with a smile on your face and do something that you love. If it works, great. If it doesn't, you've learned something. So that's just the way I look at it. But I dread to think where I'd be if I didn't start that bloody podcast.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's brilliant that you did, and like you said, it's led you to do all these incredible conversations and all that stuff. I know Joe Rogan, obviously we know who Joe Rogan is. He refers to it as building a mountain with layers of paint when he talks about this, and it's one of my favorite quotes. And it's like you it's impossible to see at the beginning. You know, when you first start, when you're starting anything, all this stuff, he calls it building a mountain with layers of paint. And every day you're just adding another little layer, another little layer, another little layer. And eventually you turn around and you're like, oh, look at this thing. It's huge, you know, but it's just, again, it's like everything we've been saying. It just starts to happen over time. And that's something that's
creeps up on you as well.
Yeah,
I love exactly. that saying, actually. I'm taking that away from today.
Please do,
Because it is, but I think when it comes to like practicing like self-validation and like even like gratitude, like it's okay to stop and look at like the mountain or how many layers are on that mountain of paint. Mm. I know that sounds weird if you just kind of joined at that point, but in the context of Joe Rogan's like quote. But all these little things that like we've kind of like discussing, like generally can like help build like a more purposeful existence.
Yeah, absolutely. Through the conversations that you've had, you've had so many discussions with like so many people across the board of life experiences, success levels, everything like that, from, you know, Ed Sheeran, Sean Paul, to, you know, people kind of just at the beginning of their careers. I know, you know, musicians, you know, other people in the media, things like that. Has there been any like commonalities you found in all these conversations among these people, from global megastars like Ed Sheeran down to, you know, people starting out, that they've said, you know, in terms of how they find kind of happiness, balance, well-being, you know, in their lives?
Well, one of the biggest... Also, I cringe when people like say who's been on the podcast, by the way. So
yeah, sorry, I had to shout you out there. Like I said, you're gonna take the compliment. Take the compliment and enjoy.
I'll take it. But to be fair, like one of the biggest things that has come from it is that we're all feeling exactly the same. Like you look at these names and like, yeah, it sounds great when you say them on paper, who's been on the podcast, but at the same time, like they're feeling exactly the same emotions as like me and you. But the conversation I had with like Ed, look at me, it's gone straight to my head, Ed Sheeran and Sean Paul, is like we were talking about like the feelings of like anxiety and like being in social situations and not kind of like feeling like you like comfortable enough to be there or having a seat at that certain table. And it's like, well, if these people who are like multi-platinum selling Grammy Award winners like feeling that, we can feel like that. Not that we needed permission to feel like that, but it's a very human emotion that we're feeling. So I think that's been the biggest eye opener, because sometimes a lot of these podcasts that you kind of like, you see these people on, it's very surface level. They're talking about whatever songs they're like releasing or their albums and stuff like that. I couldn't give a shit, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm not a big Ed Sheeran fan, but it was when you start to kind of take away that like, well, you know, when you're feeling anxious, like, what do you do? Like, I'm talking to you as like man to man, like take away the Grammys and all that kind of stuff. Like, what do you do when, you know, the shit hits the fan? And it is quite a lot of the guests that I have on, it all comes down to kind of like the really simple coping mechanisms. Like, oh, I listen to music. I'll go for a walk. I'll journal. Like, I'll go and do exercise. And it's like, this is all just very simple, easy things to do. And you know, it's that thing, it's like, it doesn't if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, that was a real roundabout way of answering that. But
no, I mean, I thought it was the human element. Yeah, I think it's perfect. I think one of the most important things of how these people cope and how they do that is it's entirely accessible to everyone. It's very easy to think, oh, well, they pop into their, you know, their home gym or their spa, or they have their coaches that tell them all this stuff. And like you said, actually, they're like, no, I don't do any of that. I take myself off outside into nature for a walk and listen to some music or a podcast or a book. It's essentially escapism. They're like, that's mm-hmm. how I deal with it. I go and do that, or I go and play with my kids, or I go and do something mindful. I cook myself a meal. I go and exercise. I go and do this. You know, it all these things are so accessible to everyone, not just these global megastars or anything like that. And I think I feel like I'm going around in a circle and repeating myself, but like, I think it's just so important for people to remember and realize that often the answers are far more simple than you think they are.
And to be fair, like, I'm kind of speaking directly to us men, like, we love to make things complicated. We love to make things complicated. You know, I'm going to say that one with my chest as well. Like, as a man, I make things far more complicated than what they need to be. But when it comes to it, like, talking, it's the easiest, most simplest thing that we can do. It's the communication. I know at times it's very difficult, but sometimes it's the thing, like, that can really make or break the situation, like your day, like whatever it might be. But it can all be solved by having that conversation. Like, it's difficult, it's scary, but believe me, once you've ripped off that plaster, like, I guarantee you the weight that you will feel, like, lifted after that. Like, the fact that I have so much in common with Ed Sheeran, like, I'm not ginger, I have no musical talent, like, it's, you know, it's all these things that you feel like, oh, well, I've got nothing in common with him. Well, actually, as a man experiencing anxiety, like, bouts of depression and that fear of, like, rejection, we've actually got a lot more in common than, like, what we think we are. I just don't have a Grammy sat on my shelf.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things as well, like, that goes even broader. You know, I think we all have far more in common than we think we do. You see it. That's social media is such a two-sided coin, isn't it? You know, largely I think it's the doom of civilization and it's, you know, terrible, but also on the other side, I think it's a great educational tool. It's a great way of connecting people. And then also now more I'm seeing, you know, with like the emergence of TikTok and reels and people scrolling and stuff, there's a lot of like the best pieces of content I see are pieces of content you can relate to. And then you see how many thousands of times they've been sent to people. And sometimes when I look at that, I'm like, that's not just people bored on their phone before they go to bed. That's like people looking for a way to relate to other people in their life. You know, a silly reel of like, you know, I'm undiagnosed, but I get a lot of my friends now telling me that I've probably got ADHD, and I guess my phone has listened to me. And now suddenly I get so many of these reels, and a lot of my friends send me them, and I get sent these reels of like my ADHD brain running around doing a million different tasks when all I should be doing is sitting down, getting, you know, like things like that. And suddenly there is that like idea of like, oh, actually a lot of the things that I feel on a day-to-day basis, most other people feel as well. It's like, there's a famous Ricky Gervais quote, isn't there, where he's like, just nobody knows what they're actually doing. You know, I'm completely paraphrasing there. And I think once you start to realize that, and if you can kind of keep that in your head, you kind of give yourself a certain sense of freedom waking up each day.
Mm-hmm. With the whole social media thing, and this kind of links back to, especially because I feel like it's a very male kind of, it's an interesting point for males to talk about, but social media very nearly on multiple occasions has ended the podcast because I was comparing myself to these people who were getting like thousands and thousands and thousands of views, even though they were just kind of regurgitating like the same information over and over again. And it just kind of like, oh, I don't know. But then what it came down to was like, well, I'm doing this podcast not for likes, not for attention. I'm doing it because it was my purpose. Like this quite clearly, I went through what I went through for this thing to be created. And I'm, again, like, as much as I love the listens, it's purposeful for me. Like it's an outlet for me to talk to people, to connect with people. And that's when the whole kind of conversation around purpose came in. Like, as a man, what is my purpose? Because the old, well, you asked me at the start of the podcast about, you know, when you asked about my, like, masculinity, where does your brain go? Immediately, it's that old kind of like, well, it's my role to be a provider, a fixer, this, that, and the other. But as a modern male, that's not my purpose. Like, if I had a wife, a family, a kid, all that kind of stuff, like, that probably would filter in. That would be my purpose. But at the same time, times have changed so much. So it was like a real big question that I had to ask myself. I was like, well, what is your purpose? Like, what do you want to do? Because it was all the external factors and this roles that weren't mine to play created this whole scenario in my head. So I had to really kind of like, I guess, fine tune my brain to be like, well, what is your purpose? And I think my purpose as it stands is to have conversations, to connect with as many people as I possibly can and do it with a smile on my face. As long as it fits in with my values and my core, I think that's what my purpose is. I mean, it could change next week. It could be something else. I'd be like, but as it stands right now, and I think it's a really big question because I think a lot of people think, especially men, feel like they need to play that role. Whereas I think that role is incredibly outdated. Like it, and it's, and quite a lot of people are playing a role that isn't theirs to play. So yeah, it's a big question, especially for men to talk about. And I think, you know, you see the statistics, people feeling like they have a lack of purpose. Mm-hmm. That's where they, you know, they do feel lost. That's where the dangerous side kicks in. But again, it's probably weird for a podcaster to say, but stop listening to everyone else and listen to you. Listen to what you want, what you need. And I think that question of purpose is hidden in there somewhere. You just need to listen to yourself to find it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's such an interesting idea, especially in terms of like the masculinity and men and everything like that. I think so. Jimmy Carr said this really amazing thing on a podcast a while ago, and he was asked what he thought the meaning of life was, and he was like, "Well, I can sum it up in 5 words," and he said, "Enjoy the passage of time." And I was like, there it is. That's it. But then this was like a couple of years ago, and it's really stuck in my head, and I genuinely think about it every day. And ultimately, I think that is the main thing. Realistically, there's like a one in a trillion whatever chance that we're here anyway in the first place. But sometimes I think that's so far removed from our reality that you just can't even consider that. But I think on top of that, I think men especially do need to feel a purpose. We need to feel like we're, like what I said earlier, like we're achieving, you know, like on a day-to-day basis or anything, and having that purpose is so hard. And I love what you said about stop necessarily doing the thing you feel like you should be doing. James Smith, I don't know who James Smith is, he's written a load of books, he's a kind of started out as a personal trainer but now is so much more. He's got a really great quote, and it says you're already, and he was referring to someone in a job that they don't enjoy, and he says, "You're already good at something you hate, think how good you'd be at something you love." And that was said in reference to, like, you know, say someone and you're working an office job or something like that, and you really don't enjoy it, but you're good at it, and you get through it, and you meet your numbers, and you meet your targets, and you get paid, and you go home at the end of the day. And sure, that might be for some people, like, that's fine, because work is something they do, and actually their purpose is looking after their family and having time to do that and everything like that, or, you know, and work is like a secondary thing. But ultimately, if you're really unsatisfied with that, you can look at it and go, actually, I hate this, but I'm good at it. So, you know, I've always wanted to be a diving instructor or a golf professional or do you know anything, you know, a podcaster, whatever it is, you know, start this thing. You know, the idea of actually taking the leap. You know, we're diving into so many quotes today. I saw one earlier.
That song at the moment, isn't there? "Scared to Start" by Michael. Yeah. I can't think of his surname, but it's "Don't Be Afraid to Start," because it's literally, I guarantee you, what you thinking like is stopping you is actually the thing that is going to propel you like so far forward.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. With that in mind, I mean, you know, I know we're not getting too much into your story and all that sort of stuff, but, you know, when you were, and obviously, as you said earlier, you know, when you did start the Waffle Shop, the podcast, and all that stuff, it was very much started out of a need personally for you to try and open yourself up and have this guy. And incidentally, that's exactly the same when I started, you know, my podcast as well. It was literally born out of the same thing. But as you've navigated it and now to the point where you are now, like what advice would you give for people looking to make that change and try and start their own thing, whether it is a podcast or they're starting a business or a couple of mates, they've decided to start a clothing brand or they've just opened a restaurant or, you know, anything like that. And even through maybe through the conversations you've had, you've gained some insight into this as well. Like what advice would you kind of give for people at the start of that journey?
I think it is just as simple as don't be afraid to start. Like every person, like we're having this conversation as a result of getting out of our comfort zone and starting something way back when. All the people, like these global superstars, whatever, whoever it is, are where they are now as a result of something that they started. It's like the people who, you know, they might necessarily not be famous, but they have a six pack because one day they decided, I'm going to do this. And I think regardless of what it is, just start. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Start something new. Like, don't be afraid to, like, fail, essentially. Do not be afraid to fail because it's in those failures where you the biggest lessons are. Like, and I can't stress that enough. Obviously, there is a brilliant podcast called, like, How to Fail with Elizabeth Day. Like,
yep.
It's phenomenal. And there is so much power in the failures. In fact, I feel like there is far much more success in the failure than there is in the success. Because you learn so much. And to be fair as well, don't be afraid of the success. I feel like as men, there's almost this weird thing of like almost being afraid of being too big for your boots. Like
it's the tall poppy syndrome again, isn't it? You know, it comes back to that.
If you've worked your ass off and you've got to a point, I mean, as long as you're not being disrespectful and kind of like cocky and this, that, and the other, but like, it's okay to kind of feel comfortable in your own skin and be like, and stand tall and be like, I did that. Be proud of yourself. I mean, to be fair, there's probably about 10 things that I've just answered that one question with, but I think it is a mixture of everything. It's just like, just start it. Whatever it is, just start. Because I guarantee there'll be a future version of you that'll be so proud that you did.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a quote I saw on Twitter literally this morning. Fail, you only pay once. Regret, you pay for the rest of your life.
See?
And that's true. And that's it, literally. And I, you know, for me, when starting, you know, my podcast or any of the things I've done in my like professional career, or even going back to, you know, being at school and leaving school, and, you know, I decided to go and move to Australia for a bit and stuff, and it would have been so much easier for me not to do that. And often it is the hard way is generally is generally going to be the most rewarding way. Going back to your mate you just said, who decided he's not famous but he's got a six pack. It's not easy to get one of those things. You know, and with taking that hard.
Sorry to throw a question at you,
please go.
Like on your show, but you know, like as men, like we're kind of like we're told to kind of like follow a certain path, or it's very kind of like written in our DNA, or like in the course of history that this is what you do, this is what you do, what you do. With the topic of failure, has there ever been anything that like your friends might have done, or like in the course of history might have done, that you kind of deemed yourself as a failure for not doing?
I think at the time, yes. I think looking at it retrospectively, no. So for example, I think certainly when I was younger, you know, getting into the early 20s, when a lot of people I was around started finishing university and going into kind of better jobs, you could say. I think there was a certain level of like, am I still just being this kind of beach bum, essentially? You know, this was the time I was a windsurfing instructor living in Greece. You know, I was doing that. So, and I was like living the dream, essentially. But I was like, you know, am I sort of not progressing? And then I think the worst was like my late 20s. And I think any men listening, that sort of time, like your late 20s, sort of, I think like 27 to kind of 31, you're just, I think, the disparity between that group is I think as vast as it gets in terms of like life, because you've got certain people that have incredible jobs and careers and are all essentially almost at the top of their game already. You have people only just starting a career that they might have, you know, just gone into. You have people that have got full families and children in school and things like that. You've got people just getting married. You know, there's just a huge distance between it. So I think for me, certainly when I came out of stopped kind of, I suppose, living the dream and doing that instructor life and a season air, essentially stopped that. And I came back to the UK and did that. And suddenly I realized a lot of my peers were just a million miles away from where I was. I think ultimately it was comparison that was just the worst thing. And I think, like I said, and we've been saying, you know, as men, that whole comparison thing is can be devastating. And I think as the quicker that you can realize, you know, comparison is the thief of joy, the quicker you can realize that and the quicker you can stop doing that. And it's so hard in today's world with social media and things like that. You know, when we were teenagers growing up, like, it just didn't exist. You didn't see it. Or anyone older, you know, listening, like, it didn't exist. You know, this whole comparison, you didn't know what people were up to. And in a way, that's kind of a good thing. Because I didn't know, you know, I wouldn't have known, oh, such and such who I went to school with, they've just got this job in London and they're moving to the US and they're probably getting paid hundreds of thousands of pounds now and they're doing this. Or, oh, another person, they've got a beautiful family now and they've just moved into a home that looks incredible. And what am I doing? You know, so I think, again, I've answered you in an incredibly roundabout way, but I think those were the kind of main events, you know, sort of the very first of early 20s, realizing I hadn't gone to university and I was like, oh, have I missed the boat here? And then that late 20s transitioning into my 30s of going, God, a lot of people are doing a lot of different things. And is the path I'm on the right one? And ultimately, I think it comes down to what you've said, is realizing that everyone is on the right path for them. Do you know what I mean? You know, my path is entirely different. I think as a man, the sooner you can kind of try and take ownership of that and accountability, like what I said, sooner you can take that ownership and accountability of yourself and be like, what I'm doing is what I'm doing because it's what I want to do. I think you're never going to reach that enlightenment and having no problems, because that realistically doesn't exist. But I think you're still going to feel a lot happier.
I want to clap. Don't fear your 30s as well. Don't fear your 30s. Everyone talks about like your 30s being like the end of it all. Life began at 30. That's when the fun stuff started. So I was like, okay, this role that I was supposed to play and do this, 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 and this by this age, that age, and that age, I was like, I was feeling like I'm a failure because I didn't reach those milestones. I was actually turning 30 and having conversations like this. I was actually realizing, like, well, I need to trust my process. Trust what's going on, because guarantee, like, what's meant to be will never ever pass you by. And it's like we're both in a situation now where at times we were like, what am I doing this for? Like, what is this all like amounting to? But we're both in a point where we're like, this is what it was for.
Absolutely.
It's like peaceful.
Yeah. And I think the sooner you can make peace with that, and like you said earlier on in the podcast, you know, trying to, it's almost like sit in that process and don't be afraid to fail and, you know, put yourself out there, but without the kind of ego attached to it. You know, I think is so important. It's so easy, you know, with podcasts and with everything these days, it's so easy to go and listen to any famous person and realize, yeah, they're anxious as well. You know, you've got certain podcasts that are basically like therapy sessions for A-list celebs. You know, and all they do is talk about that. And you're like, oh, this, you know, it's easy to listen to that, but sometimes it can be hard to relate to. And I think actually sometimes you need to go internal with it and be like, right, what is actually going on? Let's do a bit of analysis. Like you said, you know, open the conversation first, but then take action.
Yeah. You need to listen to yourself. Like these podcasts and stuff, obviously they're great. Like I'd be out of a job if they weren't but like they're great, but the sooner you start listening to yourself, like your own needs, like your own wants, like that's where that core is. Like the answer is already there. Like these kind of mechanisms, they might help you like realize it a bit like quicker, but you need to cut the noise. Absolutely. The external factors, listen to what's going on inside, because yeah, that's where the good stuff is. That's the key for me. Like, it's been the key to my finding and understanding my masculinity. Mm-hmm. Was internally, not what everyone else was telling me what a man should be or what a man should be doing. Because who made the rules up? There are no rules to this kind of stuff. Mm. We're literally, because someone else said that we should be this, we have to do that. No.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not the way it works.
Yeah. I mean, that's as perfect place as any, really. One last question before we finish up, you know, given how we started the conversation. Where can masculinity go now? Where do you think we are heading in 2024? You know, we are seeing all these conversations about mental health, and it is so much more open, and yet the statistics remain the same. Where do you see masculinity going?
I think it's just going to keep kind of opening up. Mm-hmm. Like I said it earlier on about like this spectrum of like masculinity. I think it is literally just going to keep getting wider and wider and wider. And I think I don't know. I mean, from a personal point of view, I think regardless of what you want to do or who you want to be with or kind of what you perceive a man to be, like, it's fine. Because 20, 30 years ago, they probably would have said the same, like something completely different. Mm. And it's probably going to be the same. We're probably going to be the old dogs in like 30 years being like, well, that's not what men did in my day. You know, we've got men like dressing more flamboyantly, like painting nails and stuff, which I guarantee like people like my granddad would be like, what the hell is going on? Whereas, you know, it's kind of normal now. So I think it is just going to keep continuing to kind of like grow and open up. And I think it's such a personal question around masculinity. And I just think, I feel like if anything, it's just another label that someone one day added something to, and it's like, oh, okay, this is what this is now. So yeah, I don't know. I was raised by women as well, so I'm probably not the best person to ask that question to.
but that's interesting. I think one of the biggest things to take away from there is that it is entirely personal. So, you know, everyone's idea of masculinity is independent to their own experiences and how they view the world. And I think, sadly, that's a really good thing, but I think it's something that a lot of people just don't realize and don't necessarily latch themselves onto. And therefore, they put what they view masculinity as onto other people. And that's where we have the problems. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think just opening the conversation, starting that, being... what does Ted Lasso? He's like, be curious, not judgmental. Be curious, not judgmental.
What a man.
And I think, what a man. Yeah. Why do you think I've got a moustache? Why do you think I've got a moustache? Yeah. Yeah. Be curious, not judgmental. And I think that's where everything has to start, when it's, you know, whether you're learning about other people. And for a lot of us, especially men, I think one of the ways that we do learn and improve is by talking to each other and figuring out what they do. And I think, I think it's really, really valuable. So yeah. Taylor, thank you so much for your insights, for your experiences, for sharing what you've learned, through your own life, but also through your amazing conversations you've had with them. I really, really appreciate you sharing it all with us.
Mate, I'm adding this one to the list. Honestly, my face is aching from like smiling. I've loved it. I genuinely appreciate it. Like, I should have said at the start, I felt like I was like, thanks for having me. I didn't say anything. Whereas now I'm going to kind of revisit that. I'm like, mate, it's been a pleasure. I love what you're doing. I love everything that Pit Stop stands for. And I'm very excited to be a small part of it. So thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. Just quickly, where can, if people want to find out more about what you do, where can they find you?
Across social media, probably Instagram is probably the best place to find me, at Waffle Shop Podcast. But in terms of the podcast, it's on all major platforms to search Waffle Shop Podcast. And then, yeah, there's over 100 conversations with a wide range of people all talking about what pisses us off and mental health.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, yeah, Taylor, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you very much to all of you for listening, and we will see you for the next one.